Let us all say amen. Let me say good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
I want to be thankful for those that have made the choice to worship with us on this morning. We're thankful to have you in your presence, and also want to be mindful of our sick and shut in that are not able to be with us on this morning, but they're still worshiping with us according to the word of God. And we'll find whenever we assemble to sing praises, to offer prayers, and to study the word of God, we are worshiping God. But in worshiping God, we have to do it acceptably. Amen?
Amen.
And if we'll put my slides up this morning, I think we're trying to get it there. We are assembled for that purpose of worshiping God. And I like to put that at the forefront of mind, so when we come and assemble, we'll know this is about our worship, our devotion to God. We come, we assemble to thank God for all that he has done and what he's doing in our lives. And this is one of the ways God specifically has expressed that we do in our thanks to him. And the Bible teaches us, thank you, my brother, that in worshiping God, there are five acts of worship. Luke, when he wrote and penned in Luke chapter 2 and verse 42, he identified four of those things. He said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching, and in fellowship, that is giving back to the Lord as the Lord has blessed us, and in breaking of bread, that's communing with the Lord, and also in prayer. Then he said, also praising God, that's singing. And again, when we worship God, it is only acceptable to God when we worship God according to his instructions.
Amen.
The Bible says, having favored all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved. And I want to say openly, if you're here this morning and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, the church that I will share with you about, we want you to become a member of the Church of Christ. No one is saved from their sins until they have done what the Lord has commanded, to have their sins washed away. And in washing away your sins, at the same time, the Lord, as it says here, the Lord will then add you to the church. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And so, Brother Kirby did an excellent job this morning and leading us in that hymn. And I also want to share with us from Hebrews chapter 4 that we realize, as the Hebrew writer said when he penned that, for the word of God, he said, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the soul and of the spirit and of the joints and morals. And the Hebrew writer said, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to share with us that we have to realize what the Hebrew writer was saying when he said the word of God is quick. The word of God is living and active.
Yes.
God's word. Yeah, but what we have to do when he said and powerful, meaning it has energy, we have to infuse the word of God in our lives.
Yes.
That we can have the power God wants us to have to fight the devil and other things in this life. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to realize it is through the word of God. We're not simply just reading scripture this morning. We're looking at a living document that has the power to do for us in our lives what God would have us to do. And that's what brings me to my message this morning. We're continuing. For those that have been with us, we're continuing, finishing up with Paul's second letter to Timothy. And we're beginning at chapter number 4 and verse number 1 on this morning, as Brother Kirby, the song, A Mansion, Robe, and a Crown. I want to say to us, If I'm a Christian, the number one and ultimate goal in living this life is in that subject title right there.
All right.
Paul made the statement, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. We're going to talk about that this morning. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Kirby, for mansion, robe, and a crown. We're going to talk about that. And I just want to say to the congregation that if you are following me, I just like to just share this, that my preaching will come from the King James Version of the Bible. So if anyone, you have other versions, I want you to know, because sometimes as we're looking at scripture, I'll ask you to turn to scripture. So if you want to follow me word for word, I preach from the King James Version. Amen? So Paul, as what we call verse number one of 2 Peter, 2 Timothy 4, Paul, in writing to Timothy, the young preacher, he said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. The Apostle Paul reminds Timothy of the great responsibility placed on him to preach the completely furnished word of God. Let me say this. Everyone that is of the age of accountability will be judged by the word of God. Amen. Yeah, Paul said that to Timothy. He shall judge the living and those that are dead when he appeared. He told him, therefore, I want you to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. The word of God, let me say this, is all sufficient. The word of God is like urgent care, and it's like emergency care that you get from the hospital. Uh-huh. Yeah. The word of God, whatever your spiritual illnesses are, the word of God is able to address your ills. Mm. Yeah. The word of God, it can do that. The instructions from the word of God can heal whatever is going on with you spiritually. Yeah. He says, in preaching the word of God, Timothy, I want you to do it in season. That means when it's favorable.
That's it.
I want you to do it out of season when it is unfavorable. I want you to reprove. That means to correct those in a gentle way. He said, I want you to rebuke. That means to express disapproval in someone's fault. You can reprimand them. Yeah, sometimes from the word of God, you have to reprimand behavior. Mm-hmm. Then he said also, you are to exhort. That means to encourage those that may be experiencing weaknesses. And then he told me, I told Timothy, which also to me, how to do it. He said, with long suffering.
Yes.
That means showing patience with other people. And then he said, and you do it by doctrine. That's teaching what is right as it relates to whatever the spiritual ills or conditions going on with a person. Yeah, you ought to do that, Timothy. Yeah, preach the word of God. And then you have to understand that when you are giving them the prescription, any prescription must be written by a physician. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 9. Let's go look up the physician who anytime we need a spiritual prescription. Mm-hmm. In Matthew chapter number 9, and verse number 12, we see where the prescription comes from. Note what Jesus said to those Pharisees in Matthew 9 and verse number 12. He said, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them that they that be whole need not a physician. In other words, you don't go to the doctor when you're healthy. He said, but they that are sick. Yeah, the word healed in the text the word physician in the text means to heal. Here, Jesus has the prescription for any spiritual illness that we may have. Yeah. Sometimes our problem, we don't like to take medicine. Yeah. Sometimes medicine is not good to you, but it's good
for you.
Yeah. My responsibility, and even myself, anytime I give a prescription from the Lord, it's my responsibility to first take the medicine myself. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I have to take it. Then you can administer it to others. But Paul, in his writing to Timothy, let him know that. Yeah, you got to preach the word of God. That's the only thing. You know, sometimes you have individuals that as Paul talked about, I get to it here in the third verse. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Paul said to Timothy, don't be surprised when the time come when people don't want to hear sound teaching. He says there's going to come a time when people want to hear what they want to hear.
That's right.
And they're going to want teachers because the Bible says they have itching ears. And that word itching simply means an eagerness to hear. Sometimes we want to hear preaching that satisfies us. Some may not want to hear proper teaching when we don't want to hear the truth.
No.
There is nothing to stop us from sinfulness.
Right.
Yeah. I have to want to hear what, tell me what the word of God says. And then allow me to take the medicine from the doctor and allow me to become spiritually healed from the word of God. Paul said, understand this. There's going to come a time. Yeah. And I hope here we don't ever get there. Well, we don't want to hear sound doctrine. Yeah. Because Paul said to them, he said, and they shall turn. Mm-hmm. Notice what he says. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. And they shall be turned unto fables. See, sometimes even in our worship service, we get to the point where we want to start worshiping. I talked about that this morning about acceptable worship. Notice what the Bible said. Look in Colossians. Let me, while I'm here. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Because when we start doing things, and Paul identified it when he was talking to those in Colossae. And Colossians chapter 2. The gist of this is that they had food that they wanted to offer to idols. And then they said in verse number 21, Paul wrote to them, you all are saying things like, touch not. And taste not, and handle not, he say, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. We say, you all talking about meat and whether we can use it and how we should use it, and talking about don't touch it, and don't taste it, don't handle it. And Paul said, anything that you use is for perishing. But notice what he said in verse number 23. He said, which things, when you start bringing things into worship, have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, what Paul was telling them, we got to be careful. That when we assemble to worship God, we are not worshiping God according to human will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's human will? When I start booming in the microphone.
Uh-uh.
That's human wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's human will. That's when you're trying to satisfy yourself.
Amen.
In your worship to God. That's human. That's will worship.
There you go.
Yeah. But we have to worship God. And God gives us the instruction of what pleases him. And as Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Truth is according to the word of God.
That's it.
And now Brother Wilkinson was with us. He said the question came up about, people are booming in the mic and doing all this stuff here. Where is it in the Bible?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Paul said, damn, be careful. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Things that are not true. Anything we do here, Highland Heights.
That's right.
Book, chapter, and
verse.
Yeah. Not that simple to understand. Then he told him. Now he's talking specifically to Timothy. He said, but watch thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul told Timothy, pay attention and be careful. Watch what is right and what is wrong in behavior. Yeah. And sometimes he said, you may have to endure suffering and pain. He said, but in doing that, I want you to do the work of an evangelist. And then we try, and so we'll know what the Bible teaches, what my responsibility to this congregation. The word evangelist is someone who delivers a message from God, a messenger, which includes the preaching of the gospel. You're not a gospel preacher if you don't preach the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah. So my job is simply, I am simply the mailman. To take the word of God, understand it, and share it where it can be understood. I am simply a messenger. That's the work that I have.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said to make full proof of our ministry. That means to do what is required to fulfill my obligation. How do I do it? I do it with devotion or loyalty. I do it with enthusiasm, and I do it showing courage. Yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. And Jesus, when he talked to Paul in Acts 26 and 18, he told him this. This is your purpose. He says to open their eyes, meaning the spiritual eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
That's it.
Paul said, Jesus said to Timothy, your responsibility is to find people that are in darkness. And sometimes we can be in the Lord's church and still be in darkness. How do you know that? Because whenever I'm being, the word power here simply means to be influenced. Whenever I'm being influenced by Satan, I'm in the power of darkness. And if I'm not a Christian right now, I am in darkness. Amen? But my responsibility is to make sure that you know at the close of my message how you can get in light. Because my responsibility, as Paul said, Jesus said to Paul, is to turn people from darkness to light, from following the devil to following God. And in doing that, those people will receive forgiveness of their sin. Then they're going to get an inheritance we're going to talk about among them that put their faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Again, my responsibility is to preach the word of God that allows one to secure salvation or that leads one to going to heaven. I must fulfill the obligation I have with God, and I got to do it without fear or favor.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to preach the word, and I'm not going to preach it when I'm not going to preach it if I'm scared, and I'm going to preach it out of favor to nobody else. Yeah. Yeah. As my uncle told me a long time ago, Brother Miles told me, he said, let me tell you something, boy. If you're scared to preach the gospel, or you're scared to tell the truth, and you got a yellow stripe down your back, go that way and go down and sit down. Yeah, he told me that. See, sometimes you get, you know, we were talking yesterday about how there are some things older folk could have taught the younger folk. That will be some of the problems we having now because we didn't listen to nobody. Amen. Those older folks, even though they didn't have the education that we had, they knew how to live.
Yes.
They knew how to save.
Yes.
You know, how there were times when some people, you would have job for a season, didn't have job the rest of the year, but you had to manage your food year round. Yeah, we was talking yesterday, a good conversation about how older folk I know my wife know how to make strawberry preserves. Yeah, dewberry jelly, grape jelly.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, you take the strawberry and you take the meat of that strawberry and you make preserves out of it. And nobody, they can't even amen. They don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But back then, you learned how to live and how to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so I'm saying to all of us, young people, you need to just sit under. Sometimes I enjoy just sitting under older folk and just hearing them share how they did things and how things worked for them and how even during their trying time, you know, as I said before, back in the day, you would have two people raised 10, now you got 10 children, can't take care of one person.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But we got to see from the Word of God how God has told us. No, we got the Rehoboam, Old Testament. The older folk told him, said, look here, man, raise up off of these people. And they'll serve you. He got with the young people. Say, man, don't raise up off of them. Treat them harder. He went out there and treat them harder, and God took the kingdom from them.
See?
Yeah. You got to listen. Amen. All of us got to be able to listen to those. But again, my responsibility, as I share the word of God with you in love, my responsibility, I want to go to heaven, and my responsibility is to take as many to heaven that want to go.
There you go.
Yeah, and I'm going to share how we want to go. Paul gave us the remedy. How you go to heaven is right there in the Word of God. Yeah, so Paul said to them, he got personal a little bit now. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Mm-hmm. Those that know the history behind the writing, Paul was headed toward Nero's chopping block. He said, my death is at hand. And I think it'd be good for all of us to understand, because we don't know when we're going to die. We should live as Paul said, I am now ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got to live as though we're going to die. Amen.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul knew that his bloody death was near. However, it did not shake him. You know, sometimes as we get older and we get worried, it'll shake us off. No, we're supposed to be as faithful to God as we were when we were young. Amen? When we were stronger. All that we're doing, we just gotten older. We still. Paul said in verse number 7, I have, note the three things. I have fought a good fight. Number one. I have finished my course, number two, and I have kept the faith. Paul said, when it comes to the struggles of life, you know, all of us have challenges. All of us have struggles, issues, problems, but we have to understand we have to fight.
That's right.
You still gotta fight. God gives us Ephesians 6, 17. God gives us what to fight with. That's the word of God. With those spiritual challenges we have in life, we ought to fight with the word of God. Paul said, I fought a good fight. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I have finished my course. All of us are in the race of life. Paul said, I finished mine.
That's it.
The one thing about me, Paul said, I have kept the faith. I want to preach the word of God as the Apostle Paul, with courage, answering questions with the scriptures, and showing perseverance when things get difficult here in life. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, Paul said, I did that. Paul said, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as he closed, Paul said, henceforth,
mm-hmm.
there's laid up. That's my title. He said, because of the fight,
mm-hmm.
I have fought a good fight.
Fought a good fight.
Because of the fight, I have finished the race. I didn't stop before the finish line.
No.
Paul said, and I have kept the faith, meaning I kept the word of God. Paul said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown
mm-hmm.
of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Note what he says now, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing.
Yes.
Paul said, and I said it all said in my message, if you're a Christian, your goal in life
mm-hmm.
ought to be to receive a crown of righteousness.
Amen.
Now, that crown, the word crown here is the symbol of a great victory in the contest of life. In other words, it's like when we see little James in running and he competes
mm-hmm.
and he wins and they put a medal around his neck.
Right.
Well, what Paul was saying here, that when you finish this course and you have done it the way he has done it, Paul says to all of us that God would give us a crown of righteousness. Why? Because we live righteous. How does one live righteous? No, now, note what he said. My last sermon. Go back to 2 Timothy 3. I'll show you this. How does one live righteous? Paul said it right there before he got into chapter 4. And 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul said, all scripture, that was my subject the last time I spoke before you, is given by inspiration of God. And Paul said, it is profitable or is beneficial for doctrine. Doctrine tells us what is right. For reproof, reproof tells us when we are wrong.
There you go.
For correction, correction tells us how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, that tells us how to stay right.
There you go.
And then Paul said that the man of God may be perfect. The word perfect here means complete or mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything we need to go to heaven, Paul let him know before he got to chapter 4.
Uh-huh.
God has given it to us.
Yes, he has.
Our responsibility is to study the word of God. That's why I don't want to miss no sermon. I don't want to miss no Bible class.
There you go.
And also, as I've said before, I ought to be studying the word of God every day. Acts chapter 17, verse 11.
Right.
Search the scripture daily. Why? Because, as Paul said, our goal is to go to heaven. And I understand what he said in the text. He said, the righteous judge. So that means we need to realize when we die, there is no jury. There is no jury. You know, juries make decisions on whether you are or not.
Right.
But we don't need no jury. We got a judge.
Yeah.
The purpose of the judge is to give sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Either I live right in this life or I didn't.
All right.
Yeah. And Paul said this, and I'm saying to all of us, every Christian need to see themselves beyond your death and see a crown.
There you go.
There is a reward for faithfulness in this life and in serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are you saying, Brother Stroud? What I'm saying to each of us, it is each of our responsibility to learn the Word of God to the best of our ability. Then to apply the Word of God to the best of our ability. If I've done that, as Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And he said, I finished my course. Our responsibility, church, is for when life is over. Understand, we all are going to die if the Lord don't come first. But what life is about, as Paul said, is securing heaven.
That's it.
When we die. And so I need to find out whatever those things are, and I'll try to teach it from the Word of God, that we can be holistic in our understanding of the Word of God, and not just teach from the Word of God where we can make application to our lives. As we've seen today, we've seen Paul, my responsibility is to preach the Word of God to this congregation.
That's right.
And then my responsibility also to apply to my life and for you to apply to your life. And then how do you know you can go to heaven? Last scripture before I offer the plan of salvation. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You always bring your Bibles, but we're going to use our Bible, even though I put things up. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul said it in his first letter to Timothy. Not in the second letter, but he said it in his first letter to Timothy. Look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. So our fight is about whether we're going to remain faithful or not. That's what our fight is about. Whether I'm going to remain faithful to the Lord. Faith come about hearing by the word of. Yeah. And then he told him this here. He say, lay hold on eternal life. Yeah. So I want to say to all of us, not only am I to, as Paul said, fight a good fight, but what I need to do, I need to grab on to eternal life. And I do that, eternal life is in the scriptures, by hope and by promise. But I got to grab it, and I got to try to live faithful to the Lord. There's only two ways to live. He talked about this here. Either I'm going to be influenced by the devil, or I'm going to be influenced by the Lord. And the only way I'm influenced by the Lord, I'm influenced through the Word of God. Yeah. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want all of us to receive a crown. I want that crown.
Yeah.
And it's my responsibility as the pulpit minister is to share with you what you need to do
right. In
order for that crown to be yours. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my message on this morning. Here, there's laid up. I think it's appropriate and relevant. A crown of righteousness. We live in this life in order that we can hopefully go to heaven. We can receive, Paul said, I've done what the Lord asked me to do. I didn't give up. I kept the faith. And he told Timothy, you got to fight the good fight. And I'm saying to all of us, we got to fight that fight.
Yes.
And we got to grab hold of eternal life. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, that is to those that are Christians this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hold on. Grab it. Study the Word of God every day. Make application. And as I said before, if there's something I say, you can question anything that I say. And my responsibility is to give you an answer. As I said, I answer questions with book, chapter, and verse. Amen? Rightly dividing the Word of God. I'm still continuously studying the Word of God, trying to make sure I have a clear understanding of what the Scriptures say. So when I stand before you, I can share with you what God has said.
Yeah.
However, if you're not a Christian on this morning, you're visiting here, someone brought you here this morning, we're thankful.
Yes.
for your presence this morning.
Yes.
And from that Timothy letter, I want you to know in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he said to him that there is one God. And there's one mediator between God and man.
That's it.
And he said that man is Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So Paul wanted Timothy to remind Timothy, we only have one God. And that God is a divine nature. Let me share this. Yeah. The word God means one divine nature. However, that divine nature is expressed in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the mediator. And he let him know what Jesus did. If you're here this morning, you need to know that he gave himself, Jesus did, a ransom for everybody to be testified in due time. What do you mean he gave himself a ransom, Brother Stroud? The word ransom means something paid for the release of someone from captivity. As I said this morning, when you reach the age of accountability and you sin, now you are held captive by the devil.
Right.
You may not know it, but you was in prison by the devil. And what Jesus did, Jesus gave up his life as an atonement for your sins and my sins. And as I said, it holds good for those that are obedient to the conditions that are stated in the Bible. Jesus gave a condition for a person to receive forgiveness of their sin.
Yes.
What a condition, Brother Stroud. Thank you for asking. He gave five of them. Jesus said, all of these is what Jesus said in Luke 11, 28. Jesus said, but he said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So the first thing, you visit here this morning, you got to hear the word of God. I'm going to share with you what that is specifically. But you got to hear, first of all, the word of God, and you got to keep it.
That's it.
Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. What Jesus said here, you got to believe that God sent me. Yeah, you got to believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth from heaven and walked among men and he died. Then he says, you have to repent. But he said, I tell you, neighbor, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Perish means you're going to be lost. You can't go to heaven. So in order to go to heaven, everybody, age of accountability, have to repent. Repent means I'm walking. I said earlier, Acts 26 and 18, you are walking in the power of darkness. You got to turn now and turn toward the Lord. That's the beginning of repentance. Yeah, repentance starts there. You got to turn and say, well, okay, I've been living my life. Now I want to listen to the Lord. That's where repentance starts. And Jesus said, if you don't repent, you're going to be lost. That's the word perish means. Okay, so I got to hear the word. I got to believe it. I got to repent. What else I got to do? You got to make the confession. Jesus said this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father. In order for Jesus to make a confession of you before God, you got to make confession of Jesus on earth. Yeah, so you'll come up here this morning and you'll say, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after you do that, then you got to be, Paul said here, Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, what a person has to hear. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Right.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to hear and believe the gospel. The gospel is the three facts that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb and he rose again the third day. And this afternoon, I'm going to talk about the suffering, the crown of thorns this afternoon. But you need to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins and my sins.
Yes.
Yeah. And then if you be water baptized, what is water baptized? That means that you have to get in the water. And by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. And the blood of Christ will cleanse you from every sin that you've done. When you come up out of water, now the Lord
As the Bible says here, the Lord will add you to the church. You're saved from your past sins. Mm. So if you're in the audience this morning and you're subject to that invitation, we're going to bid you, if you understand the message, we're going to bid you to come down this morning. You'll make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will water baptize you. It's not what we do. The Lord would add you to the Lord's church. And now you're a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. If there's anyone that's subject to the invitation, we bid you to come. And together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
There's power in the blood.
Would you hold evil of victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
And there is power.
There is wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb.
There is
power. In the precious blood of the Lamb.